This week, we actually have two Torah readings. One is called Acharei Mois, after the death of Nadav and Avihu, that we learned in Parsha Shmini. They passed away because they offered a strange fire in the day of inauguration of the tabernacle and so on. Parshas Acharei Mois. And then we have Parshas Kedoshim. Be holy, basically. And interestingly, within these two parshas, we have 79 commandments, mitzvahs. That means they have a lot of content into them. 28 in Parshas Acharei Mois and 51 in Parshas Kedoshim. So it's difficult to pick and choose one idea to extract a lesson, because the truth is that from every single part of the Torah, we can extract lessons, because the word Torah comes from the word Torah in Hebrew, which means lessons. The Torah is not just a book of history, it's a book of lessons. This, again, it's difficult to pick and choose and so on, but I'm going to talk about one detail of one commandment that appears in Parshas Kedoshim, the commandment of Orla. That's what it's called. Orla means that when you have a tree that bears fruit, you cannot benefit from the fruit of that tree the first 3 years from the moment it was planted. Or maybe it was taken from another place and replanted in this place, so you start counting again 3 years from the moment it was planted. You cannot have any benefit from the fruits of the first 3 years. They are called orla, precisely that word, which means like a covering, something covering. And then in the fourth year, in the land of Israel, you had to take those fruits to Yerushalayim and eat them. And from the fifth year on, you could have benefit and sell them and eat them and so on. This is called orla. Now, there's a law regarding orla, an interesting idea, that we're going to extract a lesson out of this law. And the law is like this. If you have mixed trees, some of the trees, or even one tree, you know it's orla. That means it's within the 3 years that you cannot have benefit from the fruits. And it got mixed up. You made a mistake and whatever. You didn't sign it and mark it and so on. So it got mixed up with other trees that are not orla. So from those trees, you can have benefit. From this tree, you cannot have benefit from the fruit. So what do? Can you actually gather all the fruits and just mix them and whatever, have benefit? Or maybe have no benefit of any fruit? So the law is that, again, when this tree got mixed with the other trees, the tree of Orla, within the 3 years, you cannot gather any fruit. You have to wait 3 years until you can gather actually all the fruits, and then you continue with the thing of Orla. However, if a person transgressed and anyway gather all the fruits, he didn't ask the rabbi or he asked him, whatever the case is, you can actually have benefit of the tree that you don't know that it is orla, as long as you have 200 fruits against one fruit of orla. So 200 allowed, permitted fruits against one fruit of orla. And then you can have benefit. So the law is, in the first place, you cannot gather the fruits. It's forbidden. But if you already gather the fruits, then it gets nullified. It gets nullified, this orla fruit, forbidden fruit, within 200 permitted fruits. That's the law. Now, why is it that when the fruit is still in the tree, it does not get nullified? You should not go gather them, and you have to wait 3 years and so on. Why? There's the rule. The rule is, in Hebrew, mechubar einoi batul. That which is connected does not get nullified. If it's connected to the ground, the fruit, the tree, and so on, it's not getting nullified. Now, when it is disconnected because the person gathered, for whatever reason, you should not have done this, but you did it anyway. Okay, so it gets nullified into hundreds. It doesn't really matter why that number right now. The point is, mechubar einoi batul. That which is connected does not get nullified. And it should be already clear, but I'm going to anyway express it so nobody has any doubts. This is a clear lesson for any single human being in the face of the earth. Now, when a person is connected to its source, to godliness, to Torah, to laws of Judaism, to God in general, to fulfilling the will of God and so on, in any way it should be done for any single human being, when you're connected, you're never going to get nullified. Even though, so to speak, blows, winds of against will of God, whatever it is. Society doesn't have the values of Judaism, and even your neighbors laugh at you, whatever the case is. You're never going to get nullified as long as you're connected. When the person is disconnected, God forbid, then it could be nullified. It could be nullified. And this we can see clearly in the Jewish people throughout history. Even though so many kingdoms and empires went on top of us and were stronger than us, you can talk about Babylon, you can talk about Persia, you can talk about Media, you can talk about the Greeks, the Romans, you can talk about the Crusaders, the Christians, what, the Cossacks, the Russians, the communism, anything went on top of us and stepped on us and so on, they're gone. But we're still over here. And we're doing exactly the same thing we've been doing for thousands of years. Why? As long as you're connected to your source, you're never going to get nullified. So this should be a very strong lesson, simple, but strong lesson. Again, for any human being that wants to actually be strong in his fulfilling the will of God, why did God create you and put you in the face of the earth in order to make this place a dwelling place for him? And even though everybody else says different, that's the majority, I should go after the majority. No, wait a second, that's only when they go with the will of Torah. But when they go against the will of Torah, you should know, as long as you're connected, mechubar, in a battle, you're never going to get nullified.